last time covered the ones relating to the far-reaching attitude of joyous effort, and joyous effort being the mind that takes delight in what is virtuous, then we want to, first of all, avoid gathering a circle of friends or students because of our desire for respect or profit. We want to avoid also nurturing or not dispelling the three kinds of laziness, because those are the direct obstacles to joyous effort. So the laziness of sleeping and procrastination, the laziness of busyness, and the laziness of putting ourselves down. So you're very naughty when you put yourself down. Don't do it. And then number 23, to avoid gossiping out of attachment. Okay, so with attachment, spending our time idly talking, joking, hanging out, blah, 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 dee, dee, dee. Yeah. So we've been through this one a number of times in various forms. So this is, you know, just basically hanging out, telling stories, you know. Some people like war stories, some people like love stories, some people like horror stories, some people like adventure stories, some people like their own stories. whatever it is, you know, just kind of hanging out, blah, 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 blah. And so this is an obstacle to developing joyous effort, because when we hang out, we're keeping our mouth very busy. Often our ears aren't nearly as busy as our mouth, even though we have twice as many ears as mouth. we don't listen half as well as we talk. And so to really develop a mind that takes delight in what is virtuous, we have to calm the mind that takes delight in wasting time. Okay? So like we've talked before, you know, that doesn't mean we don't chit-chat with people. We can, but when there's a purpose, when we know what we're doing, when the topic of conversation doesn't go around to anything that's harmful to anybody. So it's always good when conversation becomes a little bit difficult. Change the subject. Yeah. Very easy to do. Yeah? Yeah, I mean, in circumstances like, you know, if you don't know somebody very well and you're trying to develop a relationship, you might just kind of chit-chat about this and that, but you're doing it with the motivation to develop, you know, a relationship where you can be of service to that person. You're not just doing it so that you can feel good, so that you can make yourself feel good, make yourself look big, so that you can be amused, so that you can say, well, I couldn't practice Dharma because this person kept me on the phone all night, even though I was doing most of the talking. you know? Okay. Okay. So those are the ones that obstruct us for developing joyous effort. Joyous effort's really important in the path, because when we have delight in what's virtuous, then the whole practice becomes much easier. Yeah? So often we feel like, oh, I just don't have enough energy. Yeah? But we do have lots of energy, but usually our energy is for things that aren't so virtuous. Okay, we have lots of energy to go out in the bar and drink, go dancing, go do this and go do that. Okay? Go watch the Blue Angels? Yeah. but not so much energy for meditation. So, you know, it's just a thing of rechanneling the energy here. Okay, now the next ones have to do with eliminating obstacles to the far-reaching attitude of meditative stabilization or concentration. Okay, so meditative stabilization is very important in our practice, because even if you develop understandings of different levels of the path, if you can't hold your concentration firmly on those understandings, then it's very difficult for them to become part of you. You know, if you meditate on love, you get this kind of loving feeling, And then, you know, bam, your mind is off thinking about chocolate cake. You know, it's difficult to recreate the loving feeling again. So concentration is really important so that we can make those understandings part of us. So in that line, what we should avoid is not seeking the means to develop concentration, such as proper instruction and the right conditions necessary to do so, or not practicing the instructions once one has received them. So, and before we meditate to develop calm abiding, or jhīne or shamatha, okay, these are all the same terms, okay? Shamatha is the Sanskrit, jhīne is the Tibetan, calm abiding is the English. We need to have proper teachings on those. It's not a thing of, okay, I'm going to sit down and concentrate. I went one time to, when I was in Mexico last year, to a Montessori school with the little bitty kids. So we taught them a little meditation. So one little girl in the front row was like that, you know. That's not, you know, how we should think, okay, I'm going to develop concentration. yeah. But rather, we have to hear teachings about how to do it, how to meditate on concentration. That's quite important. Okay, actually, His Holiness commented on it at the teachers' conference this last year, because the topic came up at one point. How come some people who supposedly have these incredible realizations then act unethically? And His Holiness said, well, maybe their realizations aren't what they thought they were. And one way that you can have, quote, quote, wrong realizations or insufficient realizations is when you're in the process of developing calm abiding, at a certain point it's very easy to get stuck and think that you have clarity and stability, but actually the clarity isn't very intense, and that there's a level of subtle mental dullness there that people very often mistake and think that they have actualized calm abiding. So it's very, you know, he said this is due to not having proper teachings. So it is, you know, quite important. When we get into that subject later on, when we cover the six far-reaching attitudes, then we'll go into, you know, all the steps in calm abiding and how to do it. So that's important to know. So this vow is, you know, first of all, not having any interest in developing concentration. And even if you have interest, meditating on it without teachings or not seeking teachings on it, you know, so just kind of being very lax in that way. So that just makes a big obstacle, because if we don't know what we're doing, it's hard to do it. And it's easy to go awry. Okay, then the number 25 is not abandoning the five obscurations which hinder meditative stabilization. So, you know, even we've received teachings on meditative stabilization, we get the proper conditions. Oh, by the way, because this one, let me just backtrack to 24, because part of this was not trying to get the right conditions to meditate. If you go and do a shamatha retreat, it's extremely important to have the right conditions to do it. If you don't have the right external conditions, even you try, you won't get the results. So it's very important in that kind of retreat, you know, to have a secluded place, to, you know, minimalize your activities, not too much activities, to train your mind in being content, you know, to have a supportive community nearby, you know, to have a quiet place where you don't hear water, you don't hear other people, you don't hear, you know, things like this. So, you know, when we go and do that kind of meditation, we should make an effort to get that kind of quiet place. You don't want to hear water when you're meditating, because it makes a lot of noise and it interferes with your concentration. Okay? So you don't want to hear cars, you don't want to hear animals, water. I mean, it doesn't mean that you meditate in a vacuum, but when you go and choose a place to meditate, you try and get a conducive one. Yeah. I mean, if you've already realized jhīne, then that stuff's not going to bother you. Okay? The only other way for the water and the cars not to bother you is that your internal noise is greater.
Yeah.
So I can't pay attention to the cars because my internal channel is too loud. Yeah.